Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy. Welcome to Table Talk. I'm here with my daughter, Madison.
Hello.
And we are ready to dive right in to another episode about studying God's Word. Our question a few episodes ago was, how do we absorb the Word of God? And we talked about the different ways that we can do that, passively by hearing the Word of God, and then actively by reading it, studying it, memorizing it, and meditating on it. And so today's episode is focusing on another opportunity of how we can study the Word of God. We are using our journal, but you can be using a composition notebook or any little spiral you picked up. And we're going to just reflect real quick that the opportunity we talked about with studying last episode was simply write the verse down. We are still in Joshua 1, 8 and 9. Isolate a few keywords. Look those keywords up just in a dictionary. And then look those keywords up with a biblical slant. And I like to use Strong's Concordance, or I like to use Bible Hub. I literally type in Joshua, then I go to the chapter 1, then I go to verse 8 and 9. And when you have Bible Hub up on your computer, iPhone, or I like to use just my iPad, there is an opportunity for you to choose what's called Lexicon. When you click on Lexicon, it is literally going to isolate every single word in that verse. And then if one of those are the keywords you chose, you can click on that and it'll take you immediately to Strong's, either the Greek or the Hebrew, and it will break it down in the definition and tell you a plethora of other informations. But check out Bible Hub on your own. Always use your own study Bible if you have one with like a concordance. And look into Blue Letter Bible if that is another free, these are all free, opportunity for you to use another tool and find a tool that you like best. But we're going to kick off this episode with looking at three more opportunities to study God's Word, and it's biblical context, insights from cross-referencing, and keyword analysis. And just as a reminder, there is no order to any of this. You can do it in the order that you feel the Holy Spirit is just pulling you, prompting you to explore. So I'm going to just open us up in prayer, and then I'm going to let Maddie start us off with biblical context, because I happen to know it's one of her favorite areas. But just join us in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and space and place, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through Madison and I the words that you have us to say for the listeners to hear with their ears, to be pulled in by their own mind, heart, and just their spirit to put into action what they read and what they study. For that is the purpose, for us to think and be motivated and act out the characteristics of Jesus Christ, your Son, that we will embody attributes of Him so that others around us will be able to experience what it is to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for us, to make a way for us to be in relationship with you now and for eternity. Thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to reside within us, as your Son went to be in heaven upon His death on the cross with you. And in His name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Maddie, take us into biblical context.
Okay, so this is one of the places where I learn the most, I guess, and I just have a passion for learning about the history. So biblical context, another name of it, is kind of like the history surrounding the verse or the chapter. And so in our journal, it's a question mark because you're just kind of trying to find out those question words. Who wrote it? What's it about? Who did they write it to? Why did they write it? When? Where? All those question words you're just trying to find answers to. So if you're doing this in the journal or on a notebook piece of paper or just thinking about it as you're reading, you're just answering kind of questions surrounding the verse. So I like to do this at the beginning. Like I write down my verse and I usually maybe highlight some key words, and then I jump to the context and try to figure out history behind it. That's just where I find a lot of joy and excitement, and it kind of sparks me to have further interest in digging. So for Joshua, I'll go ahead and read the verse again. Joshua 1, 8 and 9, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So when I first pray over the verse and look at it, I read it just as those verse, or this is two verses. And then I usually try to read around it. So I read what came before that, what came after that, just so that I can start thinking about the text by myself. You know, the Holy Spirit, I'm hoping, is giving me insight, and I'm trying to kind of figure it out on my own. If you look in the Bible, chapter 1, it says, verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, and it goes on. So right off the bat, just from the other verses surrounding this verse, I know that this is right after the death of Moses, and then you can search Moses if you don't know who he is, and then that the Lord is saying this to Joshua. So I also, if that, you know, is hard for you to find more information about, I also have a study Bible, or you can use one of the free apps that we've recommended to easily find answers to it. But I would also encourage you to try to kind of figure out these answers before using the resources. I think it's part of the fun is digging and trying to figure out on your own or with the help of the Holy Spirit before you just look it up and find it. It's easier, it takes less time to just go to the app and find all the answers, but you're not really building that muscle to be able to do it in the future all by yourself. And, you know, everyone has different goals. One of my goals is that the more I'm in the Word, the less I need other resources to answer the initial questions that I have about the text, that I'm learning and growing in knowledge of the characters of the Bible, the character of God, the setting, and just like the culture of the Bible, to where I have already answered some of those questions when I've studied, you know, the Bible last week to this week, I'm remembering that stuff. And so when you have to dig through it yourself and read and try to infer and think of things, it sticks in your brain a little bit more than when you just look it up, write it down. But that's totally okay too. When I looked in my study Bible, I found so much information about these two verses. It blew my mind. And so I don't want to give it all away because I want you guys to look up some of the answers. So it's kind of a hard thing because I want to talk about it, but I also want you guys to figure out some things on your own. So some questions that I want you to find out is, who wrote this book? Who were they writing to, or who were they talking to? When was this happening? Where is this happening in the world? And why? And you can find those answers on Bible Hub. If you have a study Bible, it's usually at the front of the chapter. And it usually encompasses the whole chapter. So when I look at Joshua in my study Bible or on Bible Hub, it will give me the answers to all those questions for the whole chapter or the whole book of Joshua. But sometimes it gives you extra information just for that chapter or group of chapters. Mm-hmm. So looking at that, you start to understand and you put base, you know, the saying, you don't know anything until you've walked a day in someone else's shoes, something like that. You basically put yourself in their place. How were they feeling? What were they doing? Where were they at? And instead of your bias of present day 2024, living wherever you live, you're now back in the time of the Bible, and it just gives you that context. And so you don't have that as much bias going into it. You're not putting yourself as the main character. You're putting, in this case, Joshua as the main character, right? And God. So I don't know how much we want to answer.
Why don't you tell them one of your favorite nuggets that you came across in looking at the biblical context, but you've given them good questions that they can look up on their own. Mm-hmm. But tell us one of the most like aha that you really relished all discovering.
Right. One, it's really hard just to choose one. And a lot of things kind of run together. But one of my favorite things when I looked up Joshua in my study Bible, which I personally have the NIV study Bible. If you have that, it'll be in there. If not, the wording might be a little different, but all of this is researched the same. So it's all going to be very similar. Joshua, the name of Joshua, I thought was really cool. When I looked it up, Joshua means the Lord saves. But his name wasn't always Joshua. Moses, his mentor, who we learn in Joshua 1:1, just passed away, changed his name from Hoshua, which just means salvation, to Joshua, the Lord saves. So Moses added the Lord to his name. Well, when we look at the New Testament, which in the Bible, it gives you all these cross references and things to look for. Jesus also means God saves or the Lord saves. So Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua. So they have the same meaning of name, which I thought was cool. And I had never known that Joshua was a Christ type, which is just a character in the Bible that kind of previews mm-hmm. the coming Messiah and sets you up for this good character, good leadership, good servant heart. And I didn't know that Joshua was one. I've heard of Moses, mm-hmm. and you hear of the comparisons from Moses to Jesus, but I'd never heard of Joshua. So I thought the name alone was really, really cool. And then when you looked up kind of the bond between Moses and Joshua, it talks about how Moses was the one that went up to Mount Sinai and met with God, and God spoke to him all of the commandments, which we know the Ten Commandments came down on big tablets, but there was like over 600 in total. So he was up there for a while, and the only person that went with him was Joshua. He got to go up the mountain, and he got to stand guard, and he got to hear. He didn't see, per se, but he heard the Lord speak, which would be really, really cool in that way. And Moses taught him how to be a leader and how to listen to God and obey. And when Moses leads the Israelites to the promised land, but makes a mistake along the way, and God says, you won't make it. The Israelites will make it to the promised land and fulfill his promise, but Moses, you're going to die before you make it. You'll see it, but you won't get to walk in it. Joshua is the one that gets to lead the Israelites into the promised land, which is really cool. And that's how it starts. The Lord is talking to Joshua in this specific verse about how he's going to now be the leader, and he's going to take up that role from Moses after Moses just died. So that is just like
dun dun dun.
Yeah. Really, really cool.
We hope that whets your appetite to get in there and read more about it.
Yeah.
And just to give you some references to look up to anchor yourself into some of what Maddie is saying that she researched and found in her study, look up Exodus 3 and look up Numbers 20. That's a little bit of the backstory for both of the things that Madison just mentioned to you. And one of the things I think is very for today, from just that little biblical context that Maddie shared with us, is how important it is to have a mentor. Because Joshua was guided into and carried on the baton for Moses. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's very important, just that you find a Christian community of other like-minded believers in our purposing, it's women, that you find your community of women, and that you potentially maybe even find a little bit older mentor woman that has walked a little farther in life and experience than you have, that you can walk behind and along with, because, you know, life is life. And that is one of the reasons I am so grateful that Madison is co-anchoring this podcast with me, is her life expectancy will touch and continue after mine. So it's a mentorship role of, I am older, I have experienced more, but she will go on after me and continue to guide and lead others, just like Joshua and Moses. So I think that's very important for us to realize. And the other thing I got from just the biblical context, and I'm not going to give you answers, but one of the things, just as I researched it and studied and answered those questions, just like Madison was telling us, the who, the when, the why, the what's, was that God is looking for those whose heart, desire, and will is aligned to his will. Hmm. And just like she said, read in Numbers 20 what one thing Moses did that was partially a reason why he couldn't enter. And God is basically just still telling us that today. He is looking for those whose heart, desire, and will is going to be aligned to his will. Hmm. And so we just want you to realize how much you get that is applicable to us now from that setting and that context that is so important about scripture.
And that's kind of going off of that. That's using all these resources, like the commentaries and the Strong's Concordance, even all of these different translations of the Bible.
Yes.
It's not like the exact same maybe as Moses leading Joshua.
Right.
But we've had people that have spent their whole lives
yes.
translating the Bible, yes. figuring out meanings to words, studying yes. Hebrew and Greek that we don't have to do. And it's pushing us forward and making it easier to access the Bible, understand the Bible, which in turn makes it easier to access and know God.
Yes.
Instead of us just sitting in a room dwelling on it and not understanding and just waiting for the epiphany of the Holy Spirit to allow us that knowledge, we can look it up if we have answers. We can go to other people. And I just think that's so cool that we are in this time, mm-hmm. that we can mm-hmm. easily access all of this knowledge. And if we don't, it's almost like we're saying, all these people that went before us, we don't need you.
Yeah.
I don't want the ladder. I'm going to build my own.
Yes.
And you're like, why? These people spent their whole lives building us this beautiful staircase. Let's use it and access what we can, you know? So just that idea.
And I think a question I often get, or maybe a comment, maybe I should say more than a question, is sometimes a woman will vulnerably say to me, I don't believe I've ever heard from God, or I don't know how to hear from God, or I don't think God is speaking to me. And one of the first things I genuinely ask her is, how often are you reading God's word? Mm-hmm. How often are you studying God's word? Because God is speaking to us through his word. Mm-hmm. And I don't go to my study process with a question I'm expecting to be answered.
Right.
But when I go to reading and studying his word, he reveals to me my aha that is usually something that is a background burden or something that maybe I'm prayer wrestling with. And Maddie can be studying and reading the same verse as I am, but her now and her season is a different now and a season than mine. And so he can answer her questions and reveal himself to her while doing it to me, while doing it for you.
Right.
Even though we're all in a different place. Because his word is living, breathing, active. It's a word of God. So we hope that helps. And I so applaud what Madison said about don't just use a free like Bible Hub or Blue Letter, like a cheat sheet. Like we all know, maybe in college you would go and you just buy those Cliff Notes, or you would just look up where someone else has answered things for you. We really want you to do the digging, because that's when you're going to get the most growth. But I do want to let you know how you can almost go and like check yourself, mm-hmm. like check your answers. And one of the quickest, easiest ways, but please answer for yourself first, like Madison toss that out for us as a goal. But just on Bible Hub alone, if you go to Bible Hub, type in just the book you're studying your verse from. For us, it'd be Joshua. And then there is a little blue option line, and one word at the very beginning on the left side is sum, S-U-M. It's short for summary. If you click on that summary button, and if you click on book by book, it will basically give you all those answers. Who wrote it? What did they write? When and where? Why did they write it? To whom? And for example, for Joshua, it has 11 key events, has 5 key individuals, has 11 key places, it has 10 unique features, and then it just starts basically a deep dive on Joshua. Mm-hmm. So that is an easy, breezy, lemon squeezy place to go and get it. Mm-hmm. But we want you to read Joshua, read the chapters before and after, the verses, the whole book, if you're really wanting to study. And one thing I want to express is when I was reading Joshua, even though we're in chapter 1, like Madison said, I was reading it more just in a context, almost like a story. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to study and map every verse, but I'm just reading it as a narrative. And I got to chapter 21, starting with verse 43, and it was just another example of what God says will happen. I'm going to read 43 through 45 from Joshua chapter 21. It says, "Thus the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give to their fathers. And they took possession of it, and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of all their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given all their enemies into their hands." Verse 45, "Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel had failed. All came to pass." And Maddie mentioned that. God told Moses he would see it. Mm-hmm. Moses saw it. He didn't enter it. So what that reminded me of is God keeps his promises. Mm-hmm. God keeps his word. And if he has ever revealed a word to you, but it hasn't happened yet, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. It means to trust your good God, have faith in your good God, and just keep studying the word of God. His timing is perfect. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if someone is out there in maybe a devil speaking lies over you, like speaking doubt over you, I just want you go back and look at Joshua 21 verse 45. The Lord will keep his promises. All things will come to pass if it is his divine will for you.
Yeah.
So let's go into the next two opportunities after biblical context. One of them is insights from cross-referencing. And cross-referencing is literally where else in the Bible is your key word spoken about again. So it's still back to those key words you isolated on the first page or just one of the first things you did. So what the Lord does so well is if he thinks it's important, he repeats throughout scripture, maybe in the same book like Joshua, mm-hmm. or maybe in a total another book of the Old Testament, or maybe somewhere in the New Testament, he will reiterate himself over and over again through the authors of the word, because he revealed the words to those authors,
right.
And he just wants us to hear it over and over again. And what it does for me when I read where he's talking about that key word somewhere else in the Bible is it just reiterates to me the importance of it. So I'm going to take one example word for time's sake and just show you how I was like, okay. So I'm going to go to the very first word I isolated from Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from you. And so depart was my key word. So two other places that in cross-referencing where else in the Bible is the word depart, I found Deuteronomy 17:19 and Psalms 1:2. And even if the word itself is not mentioned, it's actually the Hebrew or Greek meaning that is found somewhere else in the Bible. So Deuteronomy 17:19 is, it is to remain with him. So if you're telling someone that it is to remain with you, it is the same thing as not letting it depart from you.
Mm-hmm.
So it is to remain with him, and he is to read from it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing all the words of his instruction and his statutes, which is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to think about, in Deuteronomy, there was not a Bible from Genesis to Revelations yet.
Right.
It is literally what slowly had been revealed to the people, most likely from God to Moses,
mm-hmm.
at that time, because that happened in Exodus and Numbers. So you have to realize they had a very limited amount of instruction and statutes at that time to guide them.
Right.
And then Psalms 1:2 is, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he should meditate day and night. So if you are meditating on something day and night in thought, then you are not allowing it to depart from you.
Right.
And one opportunity of practice for us to meditate on the word of God as we're reading and studying it, is to simply get a little piece of paper, an index card, a sticky note, write the verse on that sticky note, stick it somewhere on your mirror when you're getting ready in the morning, on your dash of your car, at your office or your place of work, on your refrigerator, just wherever you're going to see it. And so that you're driving, you're putting your makeup on. Maybe it's in the bathroom. Maybe it's by your bathtub. So that when you see it, you just reread it. Just reread it. And as you're reading it, I promise you, what you have started to study about Joshua 1, 8, and 9 is going to come up to your recollection. And you're going to begin to memorize that verse because of the repetition of it. You're allowing it to be meditated on.
Yeah.
Maddie, is there anything else you want to share about the process of cross-referencing, finding where else in the Word of God your key word is being spoken of?
I like to look in my Bible. Sometimes at the very bottom, it gives you like little numbers and more information. That may or may not be the verse you're studying. At the back of my personal Bible, it has a concordance. And when I go to the concordance, it looks dictionary-ish, but it doesn't have the definition of any words. It has a word, and underneath it has cross-references. So I like to use that and see if my words are in there. Sometimes they are, if they're like, you know, strong, courageous. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But sometimes they're not, if it's an odd word, and it might not have been studied a lot, or it might not be in the Bible a lot. So then that's where I take my last step would be looking at the Bible Hub app or another app.
Yes, and we'll give you a quick on the Bible Hub again. If you go to Bible Hub and you type in your Joshua 1:8 verse or Joshua 1:9, mm-hmm. and you click the word lexicon, the lexicon actually will break down every single word in that verse, word by word by word. So it doesn't matter what keyword you chose, you're going to be able to find it. Mm-hmm. So if you go down the very far left column, for example, mine says, shall not depart, in one little box. So then I can go across, and under Strong's, I can click on the number 4185 to depart, remove, and it will take me immediately to not only the definition, but other cross-reference verses in the Bible, just on and on and on and on and on, listing where else in the Bible not only that word, but that same contextual meaning of that word. Mm-hmm. Because to depart really is mush. And so it may, like I had shown you examples of, it may take you to a verse about to remain or to meditate, if it's using that same mush meaning of to not allow it to be departed or removed from you. Mm-hmm. So then the third opportunity is for you to look at your keyword analysis with other translations of the Bible. And in our journal, like Madison said, the who, what, why, where, when biblical context is a question mark. The cross-reference is a flame because we're asking the Holy Spirit to like lighten up or ignite us mm-hmm. to find where else in the Word of God are you talking about that keyword? And then we refer to it as the jumping arrow. It's an arrow, like making a little arch, because we want to know, now take that same keyword and arch over into many different Bible translations. And what in another translation did they use in place of your word, depart? So I'll give a few examples for depart from where I went. In the NIV, it said to keep it. In the NLT, it says to study it. In the Living Bible, it says to constantly be reminded of it. In the Goodwill God's Word Bible, it's to never stop. And in another one the ISV, it's to conversate about it always. Hmm. So, oh, in the good news, it's to be sure. So it just helps me. It's the same word, to not depart. But if I look at it in all those different translations and I think I need the Word of God to be constantly reminded in my mind, I need to keep it, study it, never stop reading it, be sure about it, and always conversate about it.
That's good.
I love that. Mm-hmm. It takes it from just me taking it in to the next step to don't just take it in, share it with somebody else. Mm-hmm. Share what you know. Which is why, if you are fortunate enough to live in the Northwest Arkansas area, we have opportunities to gather together in community and share with each other what it is we are studying about this same Joshua 1, 8, and 9 with each other.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I'll add is sometimes you'll look up different translations and you may or may not have to go through the process again. So for example, one of the key words that I highlighted the first go around was discouraged. I looked that up in the dictionary definition. I looked it up in, you know, a spiritual slant. Now I'm going to cross references. I'm finding it in other verses. Yay. And then I kind of take the last jump and look at different translations, and the other translations say dismayed. Now, you guys might know what that means. I was like, I don't even know what that really means. So now I have these other translations that say dismayed. If you don't really understand that, if that doesn't help you at all, then you kind of have to go through the process again if you want to gain more knowledge. So I had to. Now I'm going to look up the dictionary definition of dismayed. Oh, it's experiencing or showing feelings of alarmed concern. Oh, now I'm going to look up the spiritual slant of dismayed. And it talked about in this verse, I think I was in McLaren's, that it's a reminder to trust in God's presence and the promises, that you cannot be dismayed. You can't be agitated because of something happening circumstantially. So now I had to do that twice. Mm-hmm. For that one word. I had to look up my original word, and I had to go back and look up the translation from another Bible because I didn't really understand what that was talking about. So you might have to kind of go through some of these things, and it might spark, you know, different parts where you think you were done with the definitions, but now with new knowledge, you might have to define some newer words. Or maybe you've looked up the context, but now you've jumped into a different cross-reference, and it gives you more knowledge, and you're going back and you're making notes. Now I have more information for my biblical context I'm excited about. Now I'm going to go look up this. Now I'm going to go look up that. That's what, when we talk about, like, there's no specific order, there's no specific order. If you are finding joy in the process, keep going. If you feel like you're kind of done, that you've got what you've needed to get, and you're just kind of in a waiting, then stop. We don't want, and I had to learn this through trial and error, if you're doing it just to do it, don't.
Mm-hmm. So good.
If you are trying to check off the list of, oh, I did that, check, next, I did the check, next, then stop. Take a breath, go back to your verse, read it, pray over it, and come back at a different time, refreshed, ready to go. Maybe reach out to someone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting nothing.
Yeah.
I am nowhere. This is not exciting me at all.
I'm stuck.
I am confused. Ask for help. Maybe try a different verse. Maybe try a different translation.
Yes.
Look up different, you know, sermons, songs about something to gain different insight, excitement. Because we don't want, Satan wants you to do it just to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And to not meditate on it. and have passion about getting to know the Bible more and have it stuck in your brain all day because I can't get it out of my brain that mm-hmm. Joshua and Jesus are so similar, right? And now I will never look at the Bible the same again because of this new information, right? He wants us to just say, stop, you checked it off. You don't have to dig anymore. This is, you know, don't share this with anybody. Let your fire die out. Stop a couple days. Forget the verse, right? And so at any point, if you're feeling drained or like it's busy work or homework, then you need to take a step back. Listen to the word, right? Kind of that building blocks that we've talked about. Hear the word.
Read it. Yeah, go back and just read more about the book.
And don't keep studying it if it's not bringing
that's you great closer.
If it's making you say, ugh, I don't want to do this today, then take a step back.
It should feel like a treasure map. It should feel like unwrapping a Christmas present that's a big box, and then there's another box, and then there's another box, and then there's another box. That's what I feel like, or that onion layer.
Yeah.
Everything is just igniting me to just keep going, keep going, keep going. But it takes practice. Like Madison mentioned, a muscle. It takes practice. It will eventually come more easily to you just as you've learned how to traverse it for yourself. And there's no time limit. Maddie's mentioned before in her season of life versus my season of life, do one little thing. But I guarantee you, once you start, you're going to be like, oh man, now maybe on my lunch break, I'll just look up one more. Yeah. Or maybe you'll just want to, I hope you get that passion of just continued pursuit. Because here's what I want to really set you up with as we really close up this episode. I want you to realize that your mind, and therefore that guides your heart, and therefore that guides your actions, your mind has really space for one major focus. So anxiety, depression, dismay, discouragement, fear, it can't exist when you are full on reading and studying and pursuing the Word of God, because those two things don't mesh. Mm-hmm. God is not a God of fear or anxiety or discouragement or dismay, but Satan speaks those lies into us. Mm-hmm. And we can accept them and dwell on them. Or the antithesis for that is dwell on the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So I go daily to the Word of God, and I don't have room. I'm not saying I don't think them, or I'm not saying Satan doesn't bring them to me, but I don't have room to waste space holding on to fear and anxiety and discouragement and trepidation and dismay, even though there are things out there in my life and in my season that could cause that stumbling. But I am replacing it with God's word and his promises. I am meditating on them. I am praying it back to him. I am anchoring myself in the hope of his truth and his faithfulness. So Satan does not have as much power to enter in my barricaded mind, because it is protected by the promise of my good God. Mm-hmm. So what I want you to stop and ask yourself is, what am I allowing my mind to fixate the most on? And back to, like, just journal those down. We've mentioned that before. In the journal that we have on our page 4, there's that large, like 75% of the page, big box over a prayer box that we end our whole time in this verse with. Could be weeks, could be month. But in that large space Maddie's referred to before, write down what's coming up to your mind while you're in the position of read, pray, and study it. And if it is anxious thoughts, just write it down there and say, God, I give you this, and write that anxious thought. Mm-hmm. Or if it is a fear, anchor it down. Just say, God, I am giving you this. Bind Satan from my mind. And keep continuing to study and just seep deeper into his word and meditate on it. And I guarantee you, it's not that those thoughts won't come up, but they cannot remain where mm-hmm. God's word and God's provision of peace is. Because yeah. God is a God of peace.
Yeah.
So that's one reason I study, is to keep my mind fixated on what is good and right.
Yeah. I shared this with you and some other ladies. When I was studying this specific verse, a illustration came to my mind about like a match. And when we spend time with God, you know, we have our own little match. And like you've probably heard the saying, with one match, there's like miles of light. Even if it's still really dark, it's not pitch black darkness, right? So we are like lighting matches every time we study. And so the darkness cannot be there.
Yes.
We're casting out, like we are the light, casting out the darkness in our zone, in our life, in our family, in our city, where, yes. you know, we are the light. And with me, when I don't come to him and read and pray, the light starts to dwindle and mm-hmm. I feel busy and tired and maybe stressed out. I'm easier to be angered and I don't sleep as well at night and, you know, whatever. And so when I come back, it's like refreshing. My light is lit again. When I share with someone else, it's like our light comes together to make a bigger fire. And it keeps my fire going. So maybe I'm sharing with my mom or other ladies or whatever it is, and I feel like now we're making a bonfire, yes, you know? And it's yes. like, get away, we're making a bonfire.
Yes.
We're going, and it's just fueling my fire to keep going and encouraging me on my walk, on my journey. This is the way. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is where I'm gaining energy. This is worth it. So it is worth it to be the one lone match wherever you are, to have that light. It is worth it. But it is easier when you're around other people.
Amen.
And their light is shining on you and your light is shining on them. And you're building the bonfire.
Yes.
And it's easier to see.
Yes.
It's easier. So that is just something that came to my mind when I was thinking about this verse. I mean, it doesn't even say anything about that, you know, specifically, but it just came to me.
That's how the Holy Spirit reveals himself.
That, yeah.
Through the reading and studying of his word. That is something you needed to be impacted by. And then you shared it on site when we were in community and the women, yes, I mean, they all got it. They all understood that analogy of, yes, why do we feel like we have to do life alone? We don't.
Yeah.
And if you can't come to where we are when we meet, find one other person,
yeah.
one other person, family member, friend, one other person, and say, let's start studying a book of the Bible together. Or let's start mapping a particular verse together. It just takes two. What
yeah.
Madison remarked about, it just takes you and one other person.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, I mean, you can FaceTime, you can phone call, you can Marco Polo, you can find a way to be like you're almost in the same room talking with someone, similar to what we're doing with this podcast, to just ignite and keep that accountability too. It's accountability.
Yeah.
That nobody kind of just stops and derails if someone's saying, so what'd you get this week from the study? And you're like, oh, okay, how do I admit I haven't been studying? Yeah. Well, just admit it.
That's okay.
And let somebody say, well, come on, let's keep going.
Yeah,
let's keep
and
going.
If I haven't been studying, and someone else comes up and says, this is what I learned this week.
Yeah.
They have just lit my fire to be like, oh man,
I'm missing out.
I am missing out, and yeah, I need to go and study this for myself because they got this much and they're excited about it. And now I need to go figure that, you know, and dig and find that for myself. And so share. Yes. Don't feel bad about sharing.
Be honest.
That's exactly what we're called to do, is share, conversate.
Yes.
Have it always on our lips. And then don't be ashamed when you haven't. God is not a God of guilt and shame. Yes. He is not. He is waiting with open arms saying, come back,
get back,
come back, come back. It's okay. Come back, come back. I'm right here. And so when someone says that and you're like, I have not been doing that, it's just refresh. Just start today. Start tomorrow. Don't feel bad about the past. Look for the future.
The name of our journal is In Pursuit. Because we will always constantly be on the journey of pursuing our God more.
Right.
And it's not a race.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't matter where you are, where I am. It's a matter that we are a little bit farther than we were before each time we look at ourselves again. That's what I think of. I think of a humanity to holy line. If you drew a line across a piece of paper, and at birth, you are just humanly born. And if I think in eternity, I will be made whole, then I just kind of stop and put myself on that line of trajectory. As I'm aging and maturing in my physical body, I stop and ask myself, where along that spectrum line am I in my spiritual maturity?
Mm-hmm.
I want to constantly be maturing spiritually as well. That is as important growth as anything, which leads me to, I won't reveal it, but that's the verse I'm actually mapping right now. It's in 1 Timothy. It's the whole idea of, it's great to be working on your physical body, but if you're not working to improve your spiritual, then you're going for the wrong motivation. And sometimes I think about that. We all want, you know, we want to look good. We want to feel good. There's so many things out there on the market about your body and your health. There needs to be more conversating about your spiritual health and growth and accountability and a community for that. So that's all this is. We want you to think of this as like a training camp or God's gym. And we just want to help you with all the workout equipment and the tools for your spiritual muscles and growth that you can possibly get. And everybody doesn't necessarily like to treadmill, and everybody doesn't necessarily like to lift weights. So this journal and all the different tools, you'll find what you like, what is harder for you to do, but it's all purposeful.
Mm-hmm.
And these first 6 things we've just discussed are the easiest. We don't want to scare anybody away from listening to the next few episodes, but this is basically where you are asking God to help you understand just the knowledge and the comprehension and the beginning understanding of the verse that you're looking at out of the chapter in the book of the Bible you're looking at. And then the minute we turn the page from these 2 pages of knowledge, comprehension, and beginning understanding, the next 2 pages is what I refer to as truth journaling. The first 2 we call verse mapping, because the truth journaling part is basically how, through the help of the Holy Spirit, you are going to take what you've learned on the first 2 pages and start to allow the Word of God to impact you, change you, renew you, cause you to surrender something, rejoice in something, as you just abide in Him. Because that's the whole reason we read the Word of God, is to be changed and impacted by it so we can impact others.
Mm-hmm.
So I just appreciate you all for continuing to tune in. Make a goal for yourself until we meet again on Monday to get in the Word of God. If it's joining us in Joshua 1:8-9, join us. Wherever it is along the way, maybe you still need to write the verse down. Maybe you still need to isolate keywords. Maybe you just need to read Joshua 1, chapter 1. Maybe you need to play around with some of these free apps. Maybe you need to look at the different Bibles you have in your house. Do something. Make mm-hmm. a goal to do something. And if you're so aware of what we are speaking about, even like in this episode today, do some more of the things we just mentioned today and be ready for us on Monday to reveal something else. And here's the deal about a podcast. You can listen to this as many times as you need to, however far along the journey you are. So go back and listen to an earlier one or listen to this one on repeat until you figure out, hey, I can do those three things. But Madison, thank you for joining me at my table today.
Yeah, enjoyed it.
And we love you, ladies. Keep on keeping on. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.